You guys, if you weren't in Sunday school, you missed it. We interviewed Kenneth. And what I would like for you to do is, before he leaves today, if you get a chance, ask him what the best thing he ever ate and the worst thing he ever ate was, and you might be very intrigued in that, okay? Kenneth's desire, as is my desire, is for every tribe and every kindred and every tongue to praise the name of Jesus. Whether that's with a Southside indie dialect, or whether that's a Calcutta, India dialect, I want everybody to know Jesus. And we are partnering with Kenneth, and he's helping us partner with other people that gospel truth may go to the ends of the earth. So we're asking Brother Kenneth, if he would, to come today and to speak to our hearts. Brother Kenneth, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to be back here. I was here last year. It's always a privilege for me to be back in Indiana, since we lived in Indiana on several different occasions when we were on stateside assignment from our tours of in the mission field. And it's good to be back in Indiana once again today. I just want to say before I forget it, on the table out there at the entrance, the one that has all of the flags on it, there are two pieces of literature and a sticker that you could take to help you remember to pray for global partners. This is an IM department of our international missions. There is a brochure there that talks a little bit about partnerships, which is the area that I direct at IM. And this brochure is a little bit updated because some of the statistics and whatnot are from 2024. We're in the process of updating it, but it's not ready yet. This will give you an idea of what we do. And, of course, a sticker to put it right next to the all-in sticker that are still around. So you can, this is its twin right here, and you can take it as well. Okay, this morning we are going to read from Luke chapter 24, and I will be projecting the verses here on the screen. But if you're in a position where it's a little bit too far for you to see, or you want to follow it along in your Bibles, please go ahead and open your Bibles to chapter 24 of Luke, the last chapter in the Gospel of Luke. So after his resurrection, Jesus appears to two of his followers on the road to Emmaus. And he has a meal with them, and then all of a sudden they recognize who he is, because up until that point they had not recognized him post-resurrection. But when they recognize who he is, all of a sudden he disappears. Jesus disappears. Well, these two followers of Jesus, and the text there tells us that one of them's name was Cleopas, but only one name is given, they returned immediately to the disciples that were in Jerusalem, the 11 disciples there, and they were telling them that they had just seen Jesus. And as they were telling the story of having walked with Jesus, had a meal with Jesus, and the things that Jesus said post-resurrection, they saw Jesus after his resurrection, the text tells us that Jesus appears to all of them. So Jesus disappears from here. He appears over here. And, you know, you can imagine, just imagine yourself in the room and you're hearing all of this. First of all, it's very strange to hear that Jesus came back to life, even though he said he was going to do that. But it was sort of incredible. And then they're receiving this news from different ones that they had seen Jesus, but the disciples had not seen him yet. And then all of a sudden he appears in the room with them. Imagine their surprise. Imagine their state of mind at that time. It's interesting that in the text of chapter 24 and verse 37, it says, Jesus says to them, "Peace be with you." He was calming them down. I imagine their spirits, you know, they were thinking all kinds of things were going through their heads. They were confused, everything going through their emotions and everything. And Jesus just tells them, "Peace be with you." And in the next verse, 38, he says, "Why are you troubled and why do doubts rise in your minds?" So the first thing that Jesus does before he gives them some instruction is he tells them, just be calm. Peace be with you. So we're going to read, our text will be starting in verse 45. As he continues to talk to the disciples, we're going to read from verse 45 to verse 49. So are you changing or am I changing the slides here? Okay. I will do so. So, when he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures, he told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Powerful verses of scripture. Let us pray. Father, as we delve into these verses and the message that you have for us this morning, help us to understand it. Help us to apply it to our own lives. Speak to us this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we go back through these verses, in verse 45, it says here that Jesus opened their minds, opened their understanding so that they could understand the scriptures. You know, a lot of times, even when we read text, we know the words that are on the page. We understand the words that are on the page, but we don't understand the idea. We don't understand the concept that is behind those words. And the disciples had a lot of that happening with them during the time that they were with Jesus. They heard Jesus speaking. They heard Jesus teaching. But it just seemed like it wasn't clicking with them. They weren't quite understanding it. And you could see that with the resurrection, because several times Jesus told his apostles that he would come back from the dead. But first of all, they didn't think he was going to die. And then even when he did die, they forgot that he was going to be coming back from the grave. And now Jesus opens their mind, their understanding. And it's the aha moment when they start understanding, oh, okay, this is what it was all about. Jesus opens their understanding. For us as Christians, the same thing happens. We can read the scriptures, and especially someone who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they can open the Bible and they can read things, but they still have a lot of misunderstanding, a lot of doubts. But one of the works of the Holy Spirit is that he comes into us and he helps us to understand the scriptures. He illuminates us. He opens our mind, our understanding, so that we can understand the scriptures. Then in verse 46, it says that Christ suffered, died, was buried, and rose on the third day. And this is an important message that we are to not only understand for ourselves, but be able to transmit to other people. And in verse 47, he says, repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So where were the disciples located at the time that Jesus was talking to them? They were in Jerusalem. So he's telling them what they are to say, what they are to do. And he says, beginning in Jerusalem. In other words, beginning right here where you are, in this place where you are, this is where you begin to tell people about Jesus. In verse 48, he says, you are witnesses of these things. They had followed Jesus the previous 3 years. They had heard everything. They were there in Jerusalem when they went through Jesus' trial, when he was taken to a cross, when he was buried, and now he is resurrected. And they saw all of this. They are witnesses of these things. So we see up to now that Jesus comes back to them. He opens up their mind and he tells them what their message is going to be. He tells them that they are to preach the life, suffering, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. This is what you are supposed to be talking about. He also says that they're to preach about repentance and forgiveness of sins. That is what their message is to be. That everyone who repents and trusts by faith in the work that Jesus Christ did upon that cross, they can be saved. And he says, you are witnesses of all of these things. They had personal experience with this. That personal experience that they had didn't just lead them to bask in the blessings of all that they were able to experience. Their condition of witnesses called them to a commitment. They saw it. They experienced it. Now they had to commit themselves to it. They couldn't unsee what they had seen. They couldn't unhear what they had seen. And now that they had seen and heard it, they had a responsibility. They needed to commit to doing something with what they had received. That's true with us as well. Our experience with him is not quite like the disciples that saw him physically, but we have seen him in our hearts and in our lives do many things, and we have a responsibility that we have to commit ourselves to. Not only did they receive the message that they were to give, but also the audience of who they were to tell this message to, that also was identified by Jesus. He said that they were to, the audience was the nations, all the nations. Repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached to all nations. Now, nations here is not the equivalent to countries. A lot of times today, we use those words synonymously, but when this was written in the Greek, the word that was used to speak of nations is a word that we would use today as we talk about ethnic groups or people groups. So the nations were the different people groupings in the world. They were to speak to all of the nations, all of the ethnic groups, all of the different groupings of people. They were to reach them with the message. But it's not just some. He emphasizes that it is all people groups, all around the world. They were to start at Jerusalem, yes, but they were to announce the gospel to all people groups all over the world. So the message is there. The audience is identified. But wait, there's something missing. In verse 49, he says, stay in Jerusalem until you receive his promised gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and all of the power that the Holy Spirit would bring with him. He said, you've got the message. You know the audience that you are going to preach this to. But wait. Wait in Jerusalem until I send the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. This is the last chapter of Luke, towards the end of the gospel. The gospel of Luke ends there. But that's not the end of the story. Because Luke writes a second volume. And the second volume is the book of Acts. So when we go to the book of Acts, in the very first chapter, he picks up where he left off in the Gospels, and he says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. That was what Jesus had promised. And you will be my witnesses. That word comes up again. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. That comes up again. He had already said it back in Luke. You're going to be witnesses right here where you are. But he says, also in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. In other words, to all nations. You are going to be my witnesses. So, following the accomplishment of the promise that Jesus had made about sending the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, they did just that. They did just what Jesus told them to do. They started preaching in Jerusalem. And as they preached in Jerusalem, we see that there were mass conversions. There were thousands of people that came to Christ when they preached in Jerusalem. But persecution made them fan out, go to other places, scattered them to other places. And the book of Acts tells us about the spread of the gospel to places like Judea and Samaria. Then the Roman Empire, which included also Northeast Africa, where we have Ethiopia, and we have the story of the Ethiopian that got saved, and the Middle East, and Europe. And we know from history that it extended to India. The gospel was spreading out. But history tells us also that in the second and third centuries, it reached as far as North Africa and Gaul, which is the area of what is today France, the southern part of France. In the fourth and fifth centuries, it reached Ireland, Armenia, which is a country that became the first Christian country. It reached also the country of Georgia, not the state of Georgia here in the U.S., but Georgia up there in Eastern Europe. It reached those areas. Then in the 600s and through the 800s, it reached Northern Europe, Great Britain, Scandinavia, Central Asia, and as far as China, they were receiving the gospel. In the 16th century, it reached the New World, the Americas, North, Central, and South America, received the gospel. And then in the 18th through the 20th century, it spread throughout Africa. The gospel was taken to all continents. So, can we say that the task was accomplished and that we can just maybe sit down and drink a latte, take it easy, because it's accomplished. The gospel has gotten to all of the continents. No. Because in his instructions, he didn't say take the gospel to all of the continents. He said take the gospel to all nations or all people groups. And all people groups have not yet been reached with the gospel. The task is not yet complete. Let me give you just a few statistics here. A couple of statistics that I shared yesterday. I'll share them again with you here today. In the world today, there are 2 billion people, which is approximately 1/4 of the world's population, 2 billion people that live in people groups that we call, in missions, we call them frontier unreached people groups. What does that mean? That means that within that people group, there are less than 0.1% of the people that know Jesus Christ personally, that have any identification with Jesus. Less than 0.1%. 1/4 of the population of the world lives in people groups that are considered unevangelized, are considered frontier groups that still need to hear the gospel. 2 billion people. If you raise the level of percentage up to 2%, we call those that have less than 2% of the people know Jesus, we call them simply unreached people groups without the frontier on the front. They are unreached people groups. Why? Because the churches that exist within those people groups are small churches. They are churches that are usually do not have the resources to carry the gospel to the rest of their people group. In many situations, they are living in extreme poverty because they are on the margin of society. They are not well seen by society. They do not have the same opportunities within their people group. They are living in extreme poverty, and they are not able to reach all of their people group with the gospel. That's 40% of the world's population live in unreached people groups. Less than 2% know the gospel. At IM, we take the commands of the Lord Jesus seriously, and we try to come alongside others to take the gospel to every people group. We send missionaries, the mission. IM has sent missionaries now for over 90 years. We continue to send out missionaries. We have a goal in the next 10 years to send out another 100 new missionaries. We continue to send out missionaries. We send missionaries, but that is not enough to reach that many people groups and that many people that still need to hear the gospel. So we also partner with fields where Free Will Baptists have established churches. And now those churches are sending out their own missionaries. You may not realize it, but we have Free Will Baptist churches in other countries that are sending out their own missionaries to places that need to hear the gospel. But we also partner with indigenous churches in these unreached people groups, or those that are at least near to those unreached people groups. We are partnering with them so that they can be empowered and have the resources to go out and reach these unreached people groups. Because many of these places are in places where we cannot send North American missionaries. With an American passport, we can't get in there and live and do religious work. And those that are already there can do so. So we want to partner with them to empower them to do so. This is part of what we are doing to try to be faithful to the command that Jesus gave his disciples. To preach his life, his teaching, and to preach repentance, forgiveness of sins through the work of Christ upon the cross to all nations. This responsibility is not a responsibility that was just given to the disciples back in Jesus' day. It is a responsibility that he was giving to all of his followers. Back then, 2,000 years ago, as well as today. And it's not just a responsibility of the church, the local churches. It's not just a responsibility of the pastor or deacons or leaders of the local church. It's the responsibility of all of those who are followers of Jesus Christ. This is what we are told, and this is what he expects of us, is to be involved in carrying this good news to all people groups. That's what we're trying to do as a denomination. But we can only do it when our denomination is backing us, when our denomination is behind it, and when our denomination gets involved, when our local churches get involved, when the people in our local churches get involved personally. Together we can do this. This is way too much to be done by just a small group of people. We all have to work together to accomplish this. Last year I was here, I was giving you some information about different parts of the world. Yesterday I gave some more information about some things that are happening recently. I'm not going to be repeating what I said yesterday, but I want to give you some other information for those that were here yesterday and were able to hear. I want to just tell you some of the things that are going on in partnerships that we are working with around the world, some of the recent developments. First of all, am I behind here in my thing? Yeah. First of all, in Uganda. Uganda is not an unreached country. Is not it is a country that has received a lot the gospel message, where there are established churches there in Uganda. But the uniqueness of Uganda is that there are a group of churches, of Baptist churches, that are unaffiliated with any association, with any denomination. They are along the eastern border of Uganda. And we came into contact with them. That's a long story, but we did come into contact with them. And they have the same doctrine that we have, and they want to be Free Will Baptist. They wanted to join Free Will Baptist. At the end of last year, they formed their own association of Free Will Baptist. So now we have Free Will Baptist in Uganda. And I just recently visited there last month. I visited Uganda, sat down with our leaders there in those churches there in Uganda to see how we could come alongside them and could facilitate what they are doing there in Uganda. Since August of last year, they have already started 5 churches. They have 5 church plants that are going on since August in villages without any churches. How can we help them? First of all, they said, we need your help so that we can plant churches in more villages, in more areas with no churches. Secondly, they said, we need to train people. If we're going to expand, if we're going to start churches in new places, we need a training program. They don't have a training program. So we're going to help them set up a training program so that they can train people. These 5 that are in villages that are just getting started, they have no formal Bible and ministry training. And they need to be trained, as well as others that will be starting new works. So we're going to be helping them and partnering with them in this area. We are also, since last year, working in a country in North Africa. This country in North Africa, like all of the countries in North Africa, they are majority Muslim. This country is 99.8% Muslim. And no evangelism, Bible distribution, or church services are allowed or even tolerated. There are some very few tiny groups that meet in secret in homes. And the law there in this country is you cannot have more than 10 people that are not your family in a home. It is not permitted so that they can keep from having house churches. So they are meeting in secret in homes, the very few that are there that are Christian. And since last year, we are partnering with a group to try to help the underground church in this country to chip away at being able to evangelize in a very closed place. You can visit there. I mean, there's no problem in going and visiting because they are trying to bring in a lot of tourists. So you can go in as a tourist. They just don't want to see any Christian activity in the country. But we're going to be working to help those that are there to try to get the gospel out to this country. Another place that we are working in is Bangladesh. We've been there already for a few years. But what I would like to say is that Bangladesh has turned out to be our fastest growing work in, outside of North America. So the Free Will Baptists in Bangladesh are growing faster than any other country where we have Free Will Baptist churches. I was blown away by their report, their statistical report for last year. They reported that they have planted 38 new churches just last year. They reported 1,200 conversions and baptisms just last year. So it is a majority Muslim country. There is a significant Hindu minority there in Bangladesh as well. At the end of last year, there was a Hindu priest in one of the villages where they were doing evangelism, trying to establish a church in a village that had no church at all. And this Hindu priest came to Christ, plus 27 other people that were his followers as a priest. And all of them were baptized, and they established a Free Will Baptist church in that village at the end of last year. So very exciting things are happening there. We are sending out, this year, we are partnering with them to send out 8 new church planters. And they are already located in the villages where they are targeting to start churches. And then I just received, just this past week, I received a message from them that they're going to send out 8 more church planters within the next few weeks. So we are partnering with them to get these church planters out into new areas of the country. Not only that, they currently have 10 active Bible translation projects where they are translating the scriptures into local languages that do not have the scriptures in their language. So God is really moving in a majority Muslim but also Hindu country to bring the gospel to these people that need to hear about the Lord. Cuba, I visited Cuba in February. I met a man in one of the churches that I've been to that church several times already. But this time I met a new man that was there, a new convert. His name is Javier. And Javier had an interesting testimony. In December of last year, the church held a Christmas dinner. And they invited people from the community to come in for the Christmas dinner. And Javier had never been to a church before. He had never entered a church before. But since they were offering food, he decided he would show up. So he showed up for dinner. And during the dinner, one of the leaders of the church was asked to say a few words. And he said to them, he said, "Well, you know, we've had this good food here, but within a few hours, that food is going to be digested. It's going to be gone. There's not going to be anything left." But he said, "What you really need is not food. What you need is Jesus. Because once you have Jesus, you have him for life." That's basically what he said, because he was called on the spur of the moment to speak. So that's what he came up with. After the dinner, this man, Javier, came up to him and said, "I like what you said there. I really do need Jesus." And he was able to lead him to the Lord. He accepted Christ, and he's been coming faithfully to church, and he's eager to learn. And he's being discipled now in that church, and it was a privilege to meet him and see this new Christian that's really wanting to serve the Lord. You may have heard, but Cuba's going through a really difficult economic time now. where it's very difficult to get food. It's very difficult to get hardly anything. They don't have hardly any fuel in the country. And life is very difficult. Everybody that can get out of the country is getting out of the country. We've had several Free Will Baptists who have left Cuba, have gone to different places. They used to come to America. They can't come into America anymore, so they're going into other countries. And in the last year, there have been a number of them that have immigrated to Latin American countries. And especially in Brazil and Uruguay, we have received some pastors even that have immigrated to these countries. And we currently have Cuban pastors in Brazil that are starting new churches in areas where we do not have Free Will Baptist churches. And in Uruguay, there is a pastor there they're just in the beginning process of using him to start a church in the capital city, Montevideo, where half of the population of the country, Uruguay, lives. He's going to be starting a new church there in Uruguay as well. So the Lord is using these that are forced to immigrate to other places to carry the gospel along with them as they go. In Panama, we have a very interesting situation. We have a strong national church in Panama. They've been very active. And the Lord has really been putting upon them the need to be involved in missions in the last couple of years. Last year, they sent a missionary to El Salvador. He and his wife, they went to be chaplains at a Christian school there. And they started working with the parents of the children that were coming to school, many of them who do not know the Lord. And by the end of the year, they had about 70 people that were coming to a service at the school. They were mostly parents of the children that were attending the school. And by the end of the year, he had baptized, I think it was 17 or 18 people that had made decisions for Christ during the year. And without planning on planting a church, basically he has a church on his hands now. And so he is... they are proceeding to plant a church there. Also, Panama is helping us to reach out to Free Will Baptist churches. We have one Free Will Baptist church in Costa Rica and one Free Will Baptist church in Honduras. And they are close to Panama, so Panama is reaching out to partner with them and to help them in the ministry in those countries. I was just in Honduras, and... we went to a place. It was like a chicken place, like a KFC, except it was a local KFC, you know, didn't have that name. And I was sitting across a young man, and so I started talking to him and asked him about his story. His name was Fred. Fred told me his story, his testimony. He told me that he grew up in a really troubled home. Both of his parents were addicted to alcohol and to drugs, and basically they were never at home, and the kids were left alone. I think there were four of them, and he said, we basically just roamed the streets until their parents finally just left, abandoned the kids, and the kids were left in the streets, and they were left to survive. He said the way that he survived was selling drugs. He said, I didn't use the drugs, but, you know, he was used by the drug dealers to sell drugs, and that's the way he survived on the streets. And he said there was a day that he was scrolling through his phone, and he saw a message. He listened to a message that talked about the love of God. He had no concept of love. He had never experienced love. He didn't really understand that very much. But one day he was going by a church, and he decided to go in. And when he went in the church, he heard the message of salvation, and the people accepted him, the people worked with him, and he came to faith in Christ. And he is now in that church, and he told me, he said, I don't know where my family is. He said, I don't really have a family. He said, the church is my family. That was a powerful testimony of what the church can do. I heard that you're going to be going out to minister to the homeless after the service. You could be reaching another Fred out there as you minister to the homeless. This church in Honduras, there's only one church, like I mentioned, but they have 5 preaching points, and they want to develop these preaching points into planting churches in these areas. And so we are working on a partnership to try to help them and Panama. It's a partnership between us and Panama and the Honduran church to try to plant more churches there. In Kenya, there's so many of these stories. My time's probably, I've gone way past my time, I'm sure. Kenya, the Samburu people, there was a missionary there working with them for many years. That missionary is no longer there. They are on their own. So we are partnering with them to continue the Samburu ministry. We have a group of churches in the western part of Kenya that are Baptist churches that very similar situation to Uganda. They want to be Free Will Baptist. We're working with them to try to see if we can get an association of churches planted there in Kenya. In Russia, this is the last one I'll tell you about. We go for a long time without receiving much news from Russia. Our partnership with them is we help financially with a Bible Institute there. It's a Baptist Arminian doctrine institute there. And we received 2 thank you letters in the last couple of weeks from Russia. One of them was from the director of the institute. And he said, 30 years ago now, Free Will Baptist started partnering with them. And they said, we received some books on Arminian doctrine that were translated into Russian by Four Lines and by Dr. Piccirilli. And he said, those books have been extremely important to us. He said, as all kinds of doctrines are starting to infiltrate the churches, he said, we have used these books to keep our churches in sound doctrine. And that was very encouraging to hear that our partners are benefiting from this partnership with Free Will Baptist. Also, another lady, she's a pastor's wife. She wrote saying that she started a course at the Bible Institute, and it was on counseling. And she said, it has helped tremendously in my ministry in the church. I've been able to help a lot of people through the things that I am learning at the Bible Institute. And she was thankful for Free Will Baptist for helping them to start that institute there. And then we have been helping them in these last 30 years. So some very interesting things that are happening throughout. And this is only some of the things I can tell you. We don't have time. I just want to conclude this and say, the conference was called All In. That's what God is calling us to do, to be all in, committed. We are witnesses of what God has done in our lives, what God has done in the lives of others. But being witnesses, we are expected to commit and to be all in doing what Jesus told us to do, to carry the gospel to all of the nations. How can you be all in? Pray. When you're informed, and you've got some literature here that you can take as well, and the website, when you're informed, you know how to pray better. Prayer is so important. This is God's work, and it cannot be done without the power, the spiritual power, and through God who strengthens us and gives us the power to be able to do it. We need prayer. Giving also. Your church has been involved in Global Missions Offering, the WMO offering. It is very helpful for our partnerships in getting the gospel out to these different places I've been talking about. Going. Take advantage of the opportunities to go on teams with the HANA Project, THP, to many of these partner countries. sending college students and high school students on teams to different places of the world for them to get experience and be able not only to experience it for themselves, but be able to be helpful to our partners that are in these different places. So my call to you now is, you are witnesses. You were commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ to tell others what he has done in your life. And you are to tell all nations, all people groups, those that are here in your Jerusalem, which is Indianapolis, those that are in other areas, and even until the ends of the world. Our task is comprehensive, and we can only do it when we work together. Let us pray. Father, we pray that you would take your word and that you would take the testimonies of these, of what you are doing in different parts of the world, and that you would work in our hearts that we would be involved in that which you have called us to do. Lord, help us reach the nations, along with so many others that are also doing the same thing. Help us to be obedient. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.